Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
It was a wide array of emotions there in the second half. I was somewhat proud of what they had in the first half, at least from the offense. Put up 28 points. The defense gave up 21. Seven of those in the first half were on the offense after the Tyler Huff fumble. But this was the Cam Vaughn legacy game. I don't know of another way to explain it. We're going to read through some numbers here and give our thoughts on it. But if Cam Vaughn was not a football player for Jacksonville State, I don't think they win this game. Tyler Huff, rough throwing the ball as far as, 14 out of 31 is less than 50%. Did throw for 200 yards and two touchdowns. The one interception we'll talk about here in a little bit. Trey Stewart showed up, ran the ball really well, 34 carries, 166 yards. That's 5 yards a pop. He scored twice, and he was the only player that could run it for any positive yards, really. Huff, 17 for 42, is only 2.5 per carry. Andrew Paul, 5 for 13, is 2.5 per carry. Then Travis Franklin got a carry for 3. But other than Tyler Huff, it was absolutely Cam Vaughn. 7 catches, 130 yards, and you guys know he scored 2 touchdowns, the big one there at the end on the play of the year. I'm not going to go so far as to say it saved the season, because they can actually afford to lose a conference game and still set out and achieve the goal put forward. But they didn't need to lose one against Louisiana Tech. I can assure you of that. So to that extent, that did save the season. Now I'll let Brooks kind of give his thoughts here, but we'll get into some of the defense also as we go. But Brooks, tell us how your emotions were, because mine were all over the place.
Yeah, same thing, just very up and down. It just seemed like, we got up, 28-14. It looked like we were going to start widening the gap, and then it just seemed like we kept taking one step forward and two steps back. We would get a stop, and then we would get a huge stop, stop on down, and then Huff through the interception. We just could not get much going on in the running game, aside from Trey Stewart, obviously. Like you said, he was really the only one that could carry the ball for any decent yardage. He was finished with another game well over 100 yards. Very uncommon to see Tyler Huff not be able to run like he did. Now he did. He had to scramble a little bit, and we threw the ball a lot more with Huff this game than what we're used to seeing. The last 3-4 games, he's only had to throw the ball 14, 15, 16, or he's only attempted, 14, 15, less than 20 throws, really, give or take. And, for him to throw 31, is a little bit uncommon for what we're used to seeing. And we talked about it on the preview episode. Louisiana Tech does that. They got a new defensive coordinator, and they've been holding their opponents to, some pretty low points. To be able, I know, of course, the overtime and the Hail Mary at the end, certainly helped. But to be able to put up 44 points on this defense is certainly a statement, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. And Huff didn't have just a terrible day. The one interception was awful. It was not. It was thrown into double coverage. Defensive back had him covered up, just entirely covered up. And it was trying to throw it over a middle linebacker who about had the interception himself. Just not a smart decision at all. Just get rid of the ball in that situation. But I'll be danged if they didn't find a way to win the game.
Yep.
And a lot of people, you see plays like this and it's a fluke, or you could consider it a fluke. Some people even consider our very similar Hail Mary against Florida State a few years ago a fluke. But that one, that was all just perfect execution, perfect timing by Tyler Huff and Cam Vaughn.
Yep.
You know, what did he have his back foot on the 43, I think it was?
Yeah, the Jack State 43, it traveled 62 yards in the air. It was a bomb from Huff, and he got hit really hard as he threw it too. But yeah, you got to put yourself in position to win. And good teams do that. Like you said, good teams find a way to win. That's what Jackson did last year. Of course, we had, you know, from a national standpoint, no expectations last year to do anything of note. And they, you know, go 9-4 and win a bowl game because they consistently put themselves in position to win games. You look at the Western Kentucky game, kick the game-winning field goal as an example. The Sam Houston game where they got down by so much in the first half and came back and won in overtime as an example last year. Good teams find a way to win. They did it last year, and this was quite possibly the primest of examples for Jacksonville State is they found a way to win. It wasn't pretty, I do think a lot of good will come from this, and I would have said the same thing had the Hail Mary not been caught. A lot of good will come from this game as far as, you know, you talk about Tyler Huff throwing the ball 31 times. He did the ball 31 times because he had to, because there were times in the game we couldn't run, especially, you know, second quarter, middle of second quarter or so where you know, we had, you know, a couple of, you know, three and outs in a row, or a couple of punts in a row to where they just weren't running the ball like they're used to, and we had to throw it. And there were times he threw it really good and times where, like you said, he, you know, ill-advised throw and that kind of thing. But this, you know, Louisiana Tech defense was, we said in the podcast, you know, the preview last week, you know, they're giving up about 110 rushing yards a game, which was a top 25 mark, and I don't think we took them very seriously just because they really hadn't played anyone of note. But that front seven in Ruston is really good because Jack State can run it. They run it as well as anyone in the country that's not named Army and Navy. And I know, you know, Trey Stewart still ran it for 166 yards, but Jack State ran the ball 59 times as a team. 59 rushing plays is a ton of running the football, and they only averaged 3.2 per carry. So hats off to the Bulldog front seven. They kept Louisiana Tech in this game. I know you know, the quarterback Evan Bullock played pretty well at times, and they had quite possibly the single greatest catch and run I've ever seen in the first half. But the Bulldog front seven, I know Trey Stewart's yards were really, really high, but the Bulldog front seven kept them in the game, and quite honestly, that front seven deserved the win. But an all-time play from Tyler Huff and Cam Vaughn gave Jack State the victory, but we had to go win in overtime. We're going to kind of skip over the extra point, not a whole lot to talk about, but J-Rock with a huge play in overtime real quick. And I'll let Brooks give his thoughts there, but we, three or four plays just handed off to Trey Stewart three or four times in a row in the top of the overtime inning is how I'm going to talk about it for right now. They got in no issue, and then forced a fourth and short. And credit to Luke Olson. The defense didn't look great, but he dialed up an engage eight, basically, if you know what that play is. Pretty much an engage eight and sent everybody and more after Evan Bullock, and J-Rock got home to seal the win. So the pass defense has got to come a long way still. They've looked better in weeks. I know they've played some teams that don't throw it very well, like Kennesaw and New Mexico State. But I thought the secondary looked really good against Middle Tennessee. I thought they looked good against Liberty. And they just didn't look good against Louisiana Tech for whatever reason. And they're going to have to polish up to beat Western Kentucky because Cade Belkamp, if they play what they did against La Tech, will throw it all over the field. And that Hilltopper team will be really tough to beat if they can't stop a pass. So which is why I say a lot of good will come from this. It's really nice when you can play what I'm going to call bad football for right now. When you can play bad football and still find a way to win, it's great when you can learn things like that and not get anybody hurt. As far as, you know, they didn't take a conference loss to learn that the secondary and the pass defense is not where it should be. They were able to find a way to win. And I still think that a lot of good will come from this as far as getting that secondary up to snuff to go compete with with Western. But Brooks, overtime, secondary, what are your thoughts about all this wildness?
Yeah, I won't say that Louisiana Tech exposed necessarily some of our holes, but I think they found the gaps in both offense and the defense, and you know they took advantage and you know certainly ran with it. Something that has stood out to me the last four or five games is ball security. Thank God for, you know, we have as talented as a team as we do and as good as the defense as we do to kind of fall back on when we do have those mistakes. But Trey Stewart's had fumbles. Tyler Huff had a huge fumble. Just something about ball security hasn't been all there. I think it's something that I'm sure Rich Rod and company are paying very close attention to, especially after that game. And I expect that to be something that we work on heavily over the course of the next couple of weeks leading up to Sam Houston and Western Kentucky. But, you know, defense, like you said, I thought it was very uncharacteristic of our defensive backfield to have the game that they did. You know, Jameer Latimer did have the one interception, but for the most part, Fred Perry gave up a wide open touchdown. Reggie Hughes had a decent game. Antonio Carter didn't play his best game. Lalita Hale, not too bad. And just guys that very uncharacteristic, I thought, from what we've seen. Have they been perfect all season? No, by not any stretch. But the, you know, they've gotten progressively better and better and better. And this is that's one area of this defense that we were concerned about the most. And they've certainly improved the most. But it was almost like they just kind of, I don't know, sat back a little bit too much the Louisiana Tech game. Maybe that's just me, but that's just kind of what I took away from it. But you know, and nonetheless, like I said, good teams find a way to win. I think this is a good football team, and you know, again, I don't know that Hail Mary was a fluke. It was perfectly beautiful rainbow ball from Tyler Huff. Cam Vaughn snuck behind the pack of other receivers and DBs. Nobody even paid attention to where he was. They were all just watching the ball. It wasn't one of those, you know, we see. It wasn't like when the Commanders beat the Bears the other day off a tip pass that led into, I can't remember who caught it, the Washington receiver's hand to win that. It landed perfectly in Cam Vaughn's hands, 5 or 6 yards deep in the end zone. And then from there, you know, the missed extra point was what it was. Infuriating, no doubt. But once again, stepped up and they did what they had to do. You know, we ran three plays on offense, scored, and then four plays was all it took for the defense to seal the deal and just get out of Ruston with a win. So proud of the fight, no doubt. Never laid down.
Yeah. Never laid down. And there were times that it looked like they could have, you know, after the bad snap over Jack Dawson's head that gave Louisiana Tech a 30-28 lead, and then they got the ball after the safety and scored a touchdown, and it's, you know, you're looking at a 37-28 game with a fourth quarter about to start, and they were able to turn it on and get a victory. So found a way to win. And like you said, the Hail Mary, it was executed really well. Tough threw a really, really good ball as far as, you know, high as you can. And have it come down, you know, the most, trying like you're going to drop it out of a helicopter is what they try to explain as far as trying to get the ball to rainbow down. He did a really good job of that. It did, you know, there was some luck involved as far as Louisiana Tech, just horrible defense in the end zone. How you don't have somebody next to Cam Vaughn, I don't know, he didn't even have to jump. He just, like, he's fielding a punt pretty much. And then, yeah, the missed extra point is, infuriating is not even the word to use. But I'll give Rip a little bit of credit. He hasn't missed all year, at least an extra point. He's looked much better from middle to deep field goal range than we expected him to. And he got iced by the referees as far as we took a 10-minute break after the Hail Mary to look at a targeting call that, quite frankly, just didn't matter. I mean, it's the last play of the game. I know we're trying to get it right because that would have been a suspension for the first half of next week for the Bulldog defender. But, I mean, my gosh, let's just play football at some point. Line it up and kick it. I think that had something to do with it. He had to sit there and think about it for so long. So I'll give him that at least. It was like he kind of got iced, but it was still a 21-yard extra point like they all are. So good news is it didn't cost anything. No one got hurt in overtime. Yeah. So that was nice. J-Rock, like we said, had the big play in overtime on the blitz on fourth and two to seal it. And, six in a row for Jack State. If you would have told me that 6 weeks after they started 0-3, they'd be bowl eligible, I'd have told you were stupid and wrong. But it's where we are. You know, they lost three in a row. They have won six straight to get to bowl eligibility. And hopefully they're going to win three more before the conference championship game gets here, which they are primed to win, or at least primed to play in at this point. They got to win two out of the last three conference games. We expect them to win all three of them at this point, but secondary's got to improve a little bit against the pass, at least if they play like what we saw against Louisiana Tech. We'll move on from the wrap-up. The game hinged on pretty much three plays as far as the snap over Jack Dawson's head that gave Law Tech all the momentum when the game was tied at 28. And then, of course, the Hail Mary and the sack from J-Rock to end it. Were your three big plays of the game. I know Tyler Huff threw the bad pick and fumbled at one point. Losing a Tech threw an interception also to Jameer Lattimore, which was a big play when that happened. But the Cam Vaughn legacy game will not be forgotten, that's for sure. And that's a terrific segue into our collective one star of the game, because we're not going to even try to give three. I didn't give you guys the option on Twitter to choose one. All four options are Cam Vaughn, because, I mean, they're not winning the game without him. Seven catches for 130 yards and two touchdowns, catching the Hail Mary. It was all Cam Vaughn as far as the big plays tonight. So, Burks, I don't know if you have anything to add to your stars of the game there, but it was Cam Vaughn's world. We're just living in it right now.
Cam Vaughn, no doubt. It was his breakout game. It was a standout game. I thought he had a really good game against Kennesaw a few weeks ago, and that's kind of where we got introduced to Cam Vaughn. And he just kept, kind of like that defensive backfield, he just kept progressively getting better, getting more targets, making big plays. Had a good game against Middle Tennessee and New Mexico State, but no doubt this was his big breakthrough game. He's always going to be remembered for the Hail Mary against Louisiana Tech, no matter what happens at the end of the season. Kind of like a few years ago against Florida State, that season by no means turned out the way that we wanted it to. And of course, Florida State didn't end up being the world beaters that they were the next year. But everyone knows, everyone within the Jack State football community knows Damifuyiwa Johnson catching the Hail Mary to beat Florida State at the buzzer. And he's the overtime, kind of blemishes it a little bit, but nonetheless, it we wouldn't even been in that position if not for him. It was almost like he just kind of quietly walked back, like, hey, nobody's paying any attention to me. I'm going to take a few steps back to position myself to catch this ball, and like I said, landed perfectly in his hands. About five, 6 yards deep in the end zone. So I will give I give a couple other shout outs. Trey Stewart just continues to be a workhorse with 34 carries, 166 yards, and two touchdowns, one in overtime. He's up to eighth in the country in Division One, in not FCS, not Group of Five, eighth in the country in rushing yards with 1,080. Still way behind Ash and Genty, but you know, to have a guy, have a talent like this, like I said, hopefully we can convince him to come back and get his master's. Huff never really, you know, a shout out to him, you know, not having the best day ever by any stretch of the imagination, or by any stretch of the imagination, but still being able to, excuse me, after, you know, getting the ball back with what was it, less than a minute, and a great opportunity to, you know, give this team a chance to at least tie and win the game. Got all the way down to the 50, you know, I said it before, got all the way down to the Louisiana Tech 49. Great patience, great movement out of the pocket, and just a beautiful throw with the defender right in his face as he threw it. A shout out to him. And shout out to Juwan Campbell. Had the scoop and near score late in the first half, early second. God, we were pulling for him to score. It just didn't have enough gas in the tank. But I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Yeah. Campbell just ran out of steam there about the 10-yard line. I was like you, jumping up and down for him to get in the end zone, because that would have been a an end zone celebration like no other, I think. But that was the biggest play for Jackson in the first half. Fred Perry forced that fumble on a I think they call him a star, but it's basically a safety blitz, but a star blitz. Either way, we'll kind of move on, talk about some of the other conference stuff. Liberty on the road at Middle Tennessee played probably their best game of the year. Winners 37-17 on the road against Middle Tennessee State. And I know that Middle Tennessee State team's not great, but from where Liberty was the last 2 weeks, you know, just throwing one away against Kennesaw and losing to Jack State at home, getting a 20-point road win against Middle Tennessee State's a big victory for Liberty. So a good showing for them. Kennesaw State, which we have a lot of news we're going to kind of brush over here at the end, but UTEP beats Kennesaw State 43-35 in double overtime. I'm not going to lie to you, I have not seen one snap of that game, just due to the fact that it's between two teams with a combined one victory. I know that's a conference game and all that, but it just didn't mean anything, so I haven't really seen much. But congrats to the Miners out there. And then Western on the road in Las Cruces against the Aggies there, 41-28 winners. In a game that Mexico State hung with them for a while, or at least the second half. They outscored Western Kentucky. A good second half showing for Mexico State, but certainly too little too late out there in Ruston. So nothing that we didn't unexpected as far as conference results. You know, Sam Houston on a bye this week, so we didn't see them in action. But moving forward, of course, we'll talk about on the preview episode. But Western Kentucky hosts Louisiana Tech next week. So that'll be a direct correlation of, you can actually see, you know, where we are in relation to the Western Kentucky talent. I know it's a home game for Western, so it's a little bit of a different look. That Louisiana Tech team seems to be really, really good at home and not great on the road. So we'll take that into consideration. But there's that next week we'll talk about. That'll be a direct correlation to what we got about Jacksonville State. Sorry, my dog is going insane. But Brooks, what are your conference result thoughts?
Yeah, start off kind of where you did with Liberty and Middle Tennessee. Certainly a more complete game from the Flames against Middle Tennessee. You know, like I said, Middle Tennessee, there's a couple schools in this conference that I don't think are just awful, or, like, you know, maybe their record gives off the impression. Nick Battiato just continues to tear up the field. He had 22-33 for 263 yards and 2 touchdowns. Just not being able to, and no picks even, just not being able to find ways to score. It's just been a, you know, I guess that's a no brainer. You know, you don't score, you can't score points. You're not gonna win football games. But that just something about not being able to finish drives just continues to be a thorn in the Blue Raiders side. But Liberty certainly not out of the Conference USA championship race. Would certainly need some help from us getting beat, as well as probably Sam Houston one more time. Maybe even you know, couple losses from each of us to, for them to have a chance to get in the conference championship. But you know, it's still like I said, more complete game from Liberty. A little bit more of what we're used to seeing from them. Like you said, Kennesaw State and Utah. I don't think anybody was paying any attention hardly to this game. I don't mean any disrespect to these programs. Well, I don't mean any disrespect to UTEP. I mean all the disrespect in the world to Kennesaw State, who certainly an exciting week for them as they we talked a little bit about this before the before we got started recording, and I guess we'll, you know, give our thoughts on this now a little bit, at least mention it. Kennesaw State fired Brian Bohannon,
who allegedly fired.
Allegedly fired. Yeah,
that's a whole other debacle. Program. Yeah,
this is allegedly. Whatever you want to call it, he's not the head coach at Kennesaw State anymore, and he is the only Kennesaw State football head coach in this program's history. What did you think about that, Drew? Because it's kind of controversial right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the decision, but tell us the decision. What you can't say is that he stepped down if that's not what happened, which is right now what seems to be the case. Kennesaw earlier today, or I guess it might have been, late yesterday as you record this, all the days run together at some point, but put out that Brian Bohannon steps down as Kennesaw State's head coach, which implies he resigned of his own volition, at least partly. And then he immediately on Twitter, no, I was fired, which no one's blaming Kennesaw State for firing a head coach who is 1-8 and has not had a good season in 2 years. Now, I know that Brian Bohannon has done great things for Kennesaw State. He's been their only head coach since the program began playing. But if you're going to fire a head coach, fire a head coach. You know, he's 1-8. He didn't have a good year last year. He didn't have a good year the year before that. And we don't think he's the right guy for the transition from FCS to FBS. It's simple. Let him go. You have all the reason in the world. But why did I say he resigned when he didn't is kind of strange. But, no, I don't have a problem with him moving a different direction. I think everyone's getting up a little bit too much in the, you know, he helped start the program part of it, which I know that probably does mean something. But, you know, if he hadn't helped start the program, would we even think twice about it? Probably not. We'd say, yep, that's the right decision, makes all sense in the world, and so on and so forth. Now, for Jack State's sake, I hope that they hire someone who is worse than Brian Bohannon, which we'll see. But, yeah, I don't have a problem with the decision. Now, the delivery and how they chose to present it to the national audience is quite strange, to say the least.
Yeah, certainly certainly an odd delivery of whether he was fired or he decided to go, you know, what decided to step down, you know, whatever it may be. It is one of those things, and, you know, I'll compare it to us here in a second, but, you know, it is, like you said, if it wasn't the guy who literally started the program and built it up to, you know, kind of what it is now, then I don't think this would be near as controversial as an issue as it is. You know, it's hard to argue with the guy's record in the FCS days. His last two seasons were not very good. You know, were not good by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, they started playing football in 2015 and won back-to-back conference championships in 2017 and 18, and then another one in 2018 in a pretty good football conference in the Big South. So, you know, it is – from that standpoint, yes, it's controversial. But you know, if you are gonna make this jump to Division I football, the goal is to, you know, the goal is to, build up the best program that you possibly can be, and not just say, oh, we're playing in Conference USA, we know we're not gonna be as good, you know, and just lay down. So I don't blame Kennesaw for making this move, at all. You know, we went through a very similar situation a few years ago when we fired John Gross, and you know we were a little more open about it that, you know, he was fired, but you know for us to he only really had one bad season in that same, or one bad season leading up to that point, and even that year we had a win over Florida State. Considering the team that we had, it was a phenomenal feat nonetheless. But anyways, you know, for a guy to win five straight conference championships, and in that stretch, I think we only lost for a while it was only one conference game to SEMO on the road, may have been two in that stretch, but to win five straight conference championships, lead us to a national championship appearance. And if Carson Wentz doesn't, you know, if Carson Wentz is still hurt, you know, going into that game, who's to say, you know, we don't win a national championship. And to, you know, but, you know, if you are going to make that next step, you are going to be serious about it, you know, he at least got a chance. I thought maybe leading into this year, it was, you know, they were just kind of looking ahead to that, looking ahead in that transition period, to being a Division I program, and just got, but they're just not a good football team. The program is clearly not in the right direction, or not headed in the right direction at this moment under that leadership. So I, you know, maybe we're talking a little bit too much about Kennesaw, but it is kind of a controversial issue right now. I figure we ought to give our thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that transition leap from FCS to FBS is not as easy as Jack State, James Madison, App State, and Coastal have made it look recently. You know, you look at Sam Houston last year, who's a very good team this year. They're a very good team at the FCS level along with Jack State, and they struggled last year. You know, they went 3-9, and they lost a lot of close games last year, but they struggled last year, went 3-9, and they've turned it around this year. That transition leap is not as easy as some of the schools recently have made it out, you know, made it out to look, and Jack State is certainly one of those. So you got to find the right guy to do it is plan A, and they just don't believe that Bohannon is the right guy to do it, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, how you deliver it, that you fired your head coach, was wrong. If that's indeed what happened and he was fired and they said he wasn't, is just dumb. But Bohannon never recovered from the – and we're not going to get into them changing the rules on the downfield blocking for the triple option stuff, which is what they ran and was very successful at doing it. The first few years of their program, and then they kind of changed some of the rules, and they went to more of a spread option style offense where they still run it a lot and don't throw it, but it was a very different looking offense, and the offense just never really got back to where it was when they did the old school under center wing T triple option kind of thing. So that was part of it too. The rule change about how to block downfield by the offensive lineman did not help Brian Bohannon's offense out. But I had no problems with the decision. You got to find the right guy for the job. We'll see who they hire. And you talk about, you know, making that jump from the FCS level to the FBS level not being real easy. Missouri State next year could be very, very good. They're having a great year at the FCS level against really good competition. Now, Delaware, I'm not so sure where they are or how high I would be on them. But Missouri State would be one next year that I think will have success because they're doing such a good job at the FCS level right now against competition that, quite honestly, is probably not much less than what you're going to see from a week-to-week basis in the Conference USA in the Missouri Valley, which is the, you know, SEC of the FCS rank. So, long-winded way there to say that I don't have a huge issue with them letting Brian Bohannon go there. But we'll wrap it up here. Brooks, I know he's got some fun news about some giveaway stuff. I'll let him walk through a little bit of that, and then we'll outro us here.
Yeah. So, I guess I probably should have led off the show with this, but, this is our 25th episode of State of the Gamecocks. You know, this has been something. I won't go through the whole big spiel again, but you know, this is something that we kind of just came up with. Really, it was Drew's idea. He texted me one day and said, "Hey, you want to do a podcast about Jack State football?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And you know, we kind of told ourselves, you know, if we do this, and you know, we've only got, you know, 10, 15 listeners, you know, however, you know, whatever it may be, then, you know, we'll drop it. You know, it was fun, you know, just to see, but this has become something. We've got a great following on Twitter and, a pretty good audience on all the podcast platforms. So this has become something that we're really invested in. We really want to keep growing and, you know, maybe make into something, you know, really big one day. But for our 25th episode, rather than celebrate ourselves, we want to celebrate you, our listeners. Thank you, and for all your continued support over the last 25 episodes, in the last about seven months now. It's hard to believe, 7 or 8 months. So what we did was we put out on our Twitter that we wanted to do a giveaway. And let me pull it up. We said, to celebrate our upcoming 25th episode of State of the Gamecocks, we're giving away a beautiful AKC, red and white AKC hat and 2 free tickets to the JSU versus Sam Houston State finale. And all that you had to do to enter, was to like and retweet this tweet. And, on this episode, we, will choose one random winner. And that's what, we're here to do now. I've got all the names from everybody who liked and retweeted the tweet, put in a random wheel of names. Before I click spin, just let, everybody know, whoever does, you know, thank you for everybody who did enter and for supporting us. And, we hope to do more giveaways like this, as we progress and have more episodes and get bigger. Whoever does win too, we will send a DM on Twitter to get your mailing address and contact information, so we can send you the hat and the tickets. So, all right, here we go. Spinning the wheel now, and the winner of the AKC first ever AKC giveaway is David Belcher. David Belcher, congratulations. You have won a beautiful new red and white AKC hat and 2 free tickets to Sam Houston State versus Jack State on, what's the day of the game? On November 23rd. So, again, thank you to everybody who entered. We will certainly, This was certainly a big success and really helped us get some exposure. And, I think this was a lot of fun to set up and do. So keep an eye out for future giveaways and, future episodes. But David Belcher, you are the first ever winner of the, State of the Gamecocks giveaway.
Yeah. So David Belcher, congratulations. That was, really good to do, and Burks, that the giveaway was all your idea for the most part, but I'm happy to do that. Hopefully, I don't know if we'll see him at the game and that kind of thing, because we'll be obviously a different spot, but hopefully he has fun. They're pretty good seats, from what we gather, so happy to do that. We'll do, like Burks said, a lot more stuff like that later on, but either way, we're about 40 minutes into it now, so happy to see him get a win. I know it wasn't the prettiest win in the world, but either way, get their 6th win, bowl eligibility, which is huge. And that's a year-to-year thing. I mean, even if, you know, they go 6-6, you know, which is at this point the worst possible outcome they can have, Bowl eligibility is such a big mark for a group of five team like this, to where, you know, you're going to get to go do something fun. It's TV money. It's bowl money. Bowl eligibility is such a huge deal. So, that's the first benchmark of any season Jack that's going to play going forward is, gotta go 500, gotta get in the bowl game to call it a success. And they've done it at this point, ugly fashion, exciting fashion, but, happy to see them, turn around what was such a tumultuous start into a 6-game winning streak in bowl eligibility here. But, again, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. Congratulations to David Belcher. And, we'll see you guys for the FIU preview, which is a game that me and Brooks had circling our calendars since the season started as a trap game. FIU was off last week, so they've had 14 days to sit and study and think about Jack State. So, it doesn't get easier going forward. FIU is going to be a tough opponent at home. We'll get into all that preview stuff later on in the week. But beyond that, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys when the rock turns over, as they say.
See y'all later this week.